2023. My name is Jaron Jackson. I do love America. For me, it's always about the gospel, which is the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the only way to go to heaven. And yesterday, there was a murder in a private Christian school outside of Nashville, or in Nashville, Presbyterian school in Nashville. People were murdered, and some went to heaven, and one definitely went to hell. And so I'm going to be talking about that today, but specifically, it's the idea of murderers and Christian nationalism. I want to play for you the police footage. It is, I don't think it's graphic because it blurs stuff out, but it just shows you the intensity of law enforcement in Nashville going into this school to shoot and to kill a murderer in the act of murdering. So while I play this, if you don't want your kids to watch, if you don't want nothing to see that, then you know this is your warning to get out. But I just want to show you this. And then we'll comment, setting up the frame for the rest of the broadcast. Go ahead.
I don't have a radio closet.
No locked door. Where did they go in? First floor. Hold there, y'all. Somebody hold there. Hit that door. Rifle first. Blue, go. 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 Move. I'm with you. Go left.
Right here.
It's locked.
Go.
Hit the stairs. Go stairs.
Go.
Keep pushing. Go. Shots fired. Move. Right. Push an LPVO. Go right. Move! Watch out. Move! Stop moving! Watch left! Suspect down! Hey, hold the air!
Yeah, that is the graphic footage of the trauma of law enforcement officers clearing the objective and rightfully, justfully, necessarily killing the murderer. I just look straight to the paint. The Bible tells us that the world hates Jesus. Jesus told us in Matthew 24 that people would be persecuting his followers. The reason why this is important is because if you love Jesus and you want people to go to heaven, telling them to deny the world, deny themselves, and to believe the gospel is something they're going to hate to the point that they'll kill you. I believe right now that there is a win-win scenario going on with people who hate God. I tweeted this out this morning. Quote, the win-win of the godless commies. God hater, parentheses, trans, kills Christians, which is their win. They want to kill Christians. And later, conduct false flag against God-haters, parentheses, trans, and blame law-abiding Christians for yet another win. The war is against Christ and evil, and it doesn't. The war is against Christ, and evil doesn't care about sides. this is where I don't think that most people analyzing this today will take this route. I think conservative media will camp out in Second Amendment, and I think conservative media will camp out in this anti-trans movement. But understand that this is not an anti-trans position. That person is a murderer, and that person's insane, reprobate mind contributed to the fact that that person, I think it's a she, I think it's a biological she, which, by the way, the fact that there's so much chaos and confusion about what to call the person, what the gender is, that is evidence of this win-win. The evidence of this win-win situation is the fact that more people, more of the media, is trying to figure out what exactly to call the person according to their gender than the fact that there were murdered Christians. So I just want to go straight to the paint. If you are a Christian, if you love Jesus, if you believe the Bible, if you believe the gospel and want people to go to heaven because you're a Christian and you want other people to be saved from their sins, you have to be a Christian nationalist now. You want your nation to be Christian. You do not want your nation to be trans. You don't want your nation to be godless. You don't want your nation to be secular. You don't want your nation to be politically correct. You want to say when people are murdered that the murderer murdered the people. You don't want the media apparatus to be propagandizing people to shift the burden away from the murder and the tragedy of what happened to people there onto a gender pronoun issue. You also don't want people to make it into a hype issue where, did you see that this is anti-trans? It's not anti-trans. Preferably, they would have shot her a lot more. As long as she's got that gun in her hand, she's a threat. You shoot her until you get there, then you step on her hand where the firearm is and you kick it away. You eliminate the threat. So for that officer to say, stop moving, was an act of grace. And for those people who have ever been in direct fire contact with the enemy, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You don't get verbal warnings whenever you go lethal. Whenever you use kinetic, you're using that kinetic force, that lethal force, to eliminate the threat. There ain't no shooting, and then you're going to say, stop moving, stop moving. If you're doing that, you're exercising mercy and grace. So understand, even in that moment of using lethal force, the police officer is giving grace to the person who I don't believe deserves any grace. Not at that point. Now, I want to analyze this a couple different things. Because conservative media will riff on the Second Amendment. Conservative media will riff on the transgender issue. Hear me very clearly. That is doing you a disservice. That is doing America a disservice. It is a disservice to see what happened in Nashville and to reduce it to the Second Amendment. It is a disservice to what happened in Nashville, the murders in Nashville, to reduce it to that of a trans issue. Those are disservices to your country. Those are disservices, most importantly, to God, but also it's a disservice to you. So take note right now, if you are paying attention to media, and the media is going to reduce this to, well, we need to have guns in schools, they're doing you a disservice. If the media is going to reduce this to a trans issue, they're doing you a disservice. And any other media that's only going to be talking about trans rights or Christians are going to hate trans people now, those people hate Jesus and they're already on their way to hell and you shouldn't be listening to them anyway because their reprobate minds are propagandizing you to further hate God and to believe a notion of truth that doesn't exist, is contrary to God's word, and is only going to make you less safe and to propagate more evil. Do not doubt me. These godless commies are on the prowl and this is how they're doing it. They're doing it by reframing the murdering of Christians to becoming an anti-trans issue. That's what people who hate God are doing. Now you have conservative media, and I've looked at a lot of them today already. They're saying, well, we just need to put guns in schools, and we need to, you know, we have to, of course, this, like Marjorie Taylor Greene, God bless her. She said, you know, how many testosterone and hormones were going in this person? If you have conservative media or politicians reducing this to the Second Amendment or reducing this to a trans issue, they are doing you a disservice. I want to equip you to do something about it. I want you to know how to respond to this. And ultimately, I believe that media now has an obligation, a moral obligation, in all of this calamitous, chaotic, cultural confusion, to provide and present a cogent worldview about what the next step should be. Okay? Like, I believe that if people are going to be commenting on this, they shouldn't just be doing the clapback about the fact that this girl thought that she was a boy and went in and murdered Christians. Like, that's evil. That's evil. And that person's in hell forever, by the way. And Christians don't talk enough about hell. We need to talk about hell a lot more. We need to preach eternal separation and eternal wrath by God. We absolutely need to teach that. We need to know and we need to preach, because the Bible says, and Christ taught, that you are in eternal torment. Eternal torment. There is no night or day. There is no gap. There is no birthday. There is no, we're just going to take a pause. We need to preach hell. Absolutely need to preach hell. And that person, that murderer, that girl who thought she was a boy, did not have a relationship with Jesus. There was no last second, forgive me. No, it was none of that. Her heart was for murder. Her heart was to sin. Her heart was to hate God. And she did it. She did it. And she got killed for it, justifiably so. I would love to shake the hand of that cop and tell him, you should have pulled the trigger more. You should have kept going. You don't warn somebody if there's still a threat. You eliminate the threat, and then you can police up everything else. The video that gets me fired up is the fact that there was a child's body, blurred out, just laying on the ground. Could you imagine being the parent today? Could you imagine being Pastor Scruggs in Nashville? Pastor Scruggs in Nashville lost his 9-year-old daughter. That man right there, that family right there, lost that 9-year-old girl. Lost that 9-year-old daughter right there. That family right now is completely broken. Now, there are other people. There are other people that were murdered, but that one just strikes me because I have a daughter. She's 4. She's almost 5. Jaren would not be a nice, peaceful man if you touch his kids. And I don't think that you would be either, which is why I want to address what to do in response to it and not just do the clapbacks. But make no mistake, this was murder. This was absolutely murder. So what do we do about it? What do we do about it? What do we as Christians, what do we as Christian nationalists do in a nation, do for our nation in order to get this to not happen? The first thing I would say is that you can't prevent this. You can no longer prevent sin from happening. And the more that we ain't preaching the gospel, the more godless our culture gets, the more godless it gets, the more violent it gets. This right here is going to become more common. And as I said earlier, this win-win situation right here, don't doubt me on this one, folks. This is absolutely going to happen. They're going to say that there's some Christian out there who's going to be making some Christian posts with the eagle screech and the flags and all that kind of stuff. And they're going to say that that person wanted to go shoot a bunch of transgenders. But that person will probably be some MK Ultra Fed Boy trained sleeper cell activated to go kill a bunch of people because it serves the political narrative. Ultimately, these godless commies want your guns because they want Americans to be disarmed. If Americans are disarmed, they're no different than any other nation that doesn't have firearms. Because Americans have firearms, keeping our firearms is a key principle of what we're doing. Now I want to introduce some new concepts. So those are the types of things that are going on. Those, like, that happened yesterday. And I believe that the targeting and the killing and the murdering of Christians is only going to increase. I do not see it decreasing. The first thing that you do is you pray, you repent of your sin, make sure you are right with Jesus, and then you tell other people the gospel. Then you live your life for Jesus. And the way that you do that is you steward what he gives you. You steward what God has given you. And you might be thinking, well, Jaren, how do I know how to protect my family or that the kids are going into things? And the legislature won't pass legislation so we can get people there. Let's address that. The last thing I'll say before we roll the rock and we get into some how-to steps, right? Because the rest of this broadcast is going to be a how-to, okay? This broadcast is going to be a how-to. How does Christian nationalism respond to these types of murders? That's the rest of this live stream. The rest of this broadcast will be about that. But before I do that, I want to talk about the message. The message, the last message that this girl was saying. And so if you're on the podcast, thanks for listening there. But this is going to say, this is two screenshots side by side. So Aiden is the name the girl wanted as a boy. So it says, quote, "So basically that post I made on here about you, that was basically a suicide note. I'm planning to die today. This is not a joke. You'll probably hear about me on the news after I die. This is my last goodbye. I love you. What kind of love is that? See you again in another life. No, you won't. You're going to go to hell. And then it says Audrey and then Aiden, which, again, I don't know if this person was born a girl and then it became a wanted to become a guy, or was born a guy and became a girl. I have no idea. Which, if I'm confused, how confused is this person? But this person uses both names. This person uses Audrey and then underneath Aiden. So this person is simultaneously identifying as both and recognizes that, which is evil. To which the person responds, "Audrey!" exclamation point. "You have so much more life to you, more life to live. I pray God keeps and covers you." Now, I don't know what this is. You know, I don't know who this person's responding to. "I know, but I don't want to live. I'm so sorry. I'm not trying to upset you or get attention. I just need to die." False. False. You are trying to get attention because you say that you will probably hear about me on the news after I die, which is an expectation that your name and what you've done, your behavior, will be known and covered. This person is a liar. This person is an idolater. This person is a murderer. Murderer, because right here, it's basically a suicide note. Suicide by cop. They're expecting this. They're planning this. This is in their psychology. "I wanted to tell you first because you are the most beautiful person I've ever seen and known in all my life." It just goes on. Just this psychology of an insane, reprobate, murdering, anti-Christian person is on display. And it goes to show the notion of that relationships in these people are isolated. These people have become reprobate minds. And I'll speak to that in a second. I'll speak to the idea that if you have a reprobate mind, you're already losing. Like, God has abandoned you at this point. God has abandoned this person in their reprobate mind for them to think that on one hand, they're going to expect to do something that the media will cover. But then on the other hand, they'll say, "I'm not doing this for an attention." You're a liar. You're absolutely doing it for attention. You did your whole gender jumping for attention. You're doing this because you're putting both of your names up there. You're putting both of these names. So you don't know who you are. You're identifying that the person who's talking to you probably recognizes you as your birth name, because that person, from the way that they were speaking, is a Christian and not a reprobate God hater like you. And so because you put both, like, your brain doesn't make sense. Your brain doesn't make sense, and this is what happens when God abandons you. And if you're going to abandon God, pervert his order, deny his order to the point where you demand people's names be different or have testosterone different or do these things, whenever you are so anti-God, when you are so hostile to God, he's going to abandon you. God abandoned this person. This person now says, "Well, I just want to die." Why would you want to die, person who's in hell? It's because in this life, which was the best life that this person's ever going to get, by the way, this life, this person, I think it's a she. I intend to say what the person was born as. So if I mess up, it's because I'm confused about all this stuff. But this girl had felt so isolated that this girl felt like she needed to lash out. Understand the psychology. She understood that she could use a weapon to go kill people, and in the process of killing people would get other people to come with guns to defend the people that were being killed and murdered by killing her. Murder by cop, suicide by cop. So she had the reason to be able to lay that out, but she did it anyway, and she did it with premeditation, like she knew about it. She's culpable. Jesus would teach in the Sermon on the Mount that if you have but anger against your brother, it's the same as murder. So she's guilty of murder even just by thinking this, let alone going and doing it. So this is the type of thinking that we're dealing with. This is the type of stuff that I argue is becoming more prevalent. Even though it's still a vast statistical minority, and it's by no means at all a significant part of the population, any percentage argument is going to distract from the sin. These people have so thoroughly denied God, who he made them to be, and his order, that they are looking to be abandoned. They are looking to be abandoned. And whenever they are abandoned by God, how do you think that they will respond? Expect to see more and more of this. Especially, as I've already said in that tweet that I said earlier, expect people who are evil, people who want the political instability, people who want, most importantly, Christians killed, They want Christians killed because they don't want the gospel message. If they get a gospel message, then they're going to change. If these godless commies get a gospel message in America, they don't have the Fed boys that they have running Feds erections. They don't have the color revolutions. They don't have the power and the political tools to make the world the way that they want them to. When Christians preach Christ, the world doesn't have this crap. Like, your government's not going to get this, which takes me to Christian nationalism. I first want to point out that one way to support me and what I do is to go to humblewb.coffee, humblewb.coffee. If you're a coffee drinker, like me, then you want air-roasted coffee. You don't want drum-roasted coffee. Drum-roasted coffee is the trans of coffees. It is the gender-jumping, abandoned by God, because you take what was natural, you burn it, and then you load it up with a bunch of stuff. Don't drink trans coffee. Drink humble coffee, the way God intended it, which ironically is only 1% of coffees. So if you want a good coffee, a full, delicious palate coffee, not bitter, not burnt, go to humblewb.coffee, humblewb.coffee. The link is in the description. Thank you. God bless you very much. Christian nationalism is this idea that it is a people in a place with a purpose. A people in a place with a purpose. If you are a Christian, and if you are in America, then you are an American Christian, and you should want what's best for your nation, which means that you are a nationalist. Forthcoming, I have a book. We're going to be selling it in May of 15. We're going to be rolling this out, but this book is called Christian Nationalism is Inevitable. And unlike most people who have propagandized the word and who have trained Americans and Christians to hate the word nationalism, I'm going to be laying out, not making the case for Christian nationalism, but I'm making the point that it is inevitable. It's inevitable because God's wisdom in government is better than not God's wisdom in government. And so right here, you have the founding fathers who were Christians, who gave us the Constitution. And for most of our nation's history, we didn't have school shootings. And now we have school shootings. I believe that's an outgrowth from the anti-gun lobby, through the FBI, through the CIA, through some other like really big conspiracy type things. And it's because Americans, the godless commies in America, want to disarm Americans. The founders, in their wisdom, because they love Jesus, gave us a constitution that expressly said the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And for this entire time, as Americans have looked less and less to God and become complacent and convenient and gotten off of our foundations, we now see that the godless commies are making a move for guns. And the way that they do that is they use these opportunities, these school shootings, these school murders, to look to the gun instead of the murderer. In a Christian nation, Christian nationalism, first and foremost, the parents are going to educate the kids and not public schools. You need to know, in America, it was the first 150 years of America did not have public schools. That was a really big fight. And the ones who pushed back the most against the government-run schools were the Christians. The Christians were saying, mom and dad needs to teach the children and not public schools. And if mom and dad weren't there, then the church needs to teach the children and not the public schools. But now that we have a majority-driven public school system, we are educating our children how to become servants to Caesar. When you send your children to Rome, do not be surprised when they come back saying, "Hail Caesar." We need to educate our kids. The very first thing that Christian nationalists should do is homeschool or get them to a private school. Now, this school that was a site to the murder yesterday, this was a Christian school, right? Like, this was a private Christian school. So recognize whenever you have a child, there's a risk. When you send your child away from you, there's a risk. There might be risks of people coming up to the property, you know, coming to my kids. God bless those people, because they will see Jesus very quickly if they do that to my children. But here's the idea. Christian nationalism recognizes the priority of education is really the training of God's people. We're going to instruct God's people in his ways. This is Deuteronomy 6. So the first thing that you can do is to homeschool your kids. And I would even say this. At this point, if you're a boomer, if you're an Xer, wherever you are, sacrifice financially to get your kids, your grandkids, or your great-grandkids out of the public school system. If you are a teacher or if you are a child in a public school system, God bless you. You are doing God's work in a what is now a hostile battlefield. It is absolutely a hostile battlefield. I know that there are people in this audience who themselves are public school teachers, or they go to public schools, or they send their kids to public schools. I am not anti-public school as much as I am pro-homeschool. Whenever you homeschool, the public school issue isn't an issue. The private school issue isn't an issue, because you recognize God has given you a child, and you, in my opinion, my view, are stewarding that gift better by making it in proximity to you instead of anybody else. Now, Jaron, I can't, I have to pay the bills, I have to pay the mortgage, I have to have a job, I have to do this and that. Amen. That gets me to the next part. I think that we need to, well, first of all, I will say that the Live Local Field Manual, available at livelocal.store, the Live Local Field Manual at livelocal.store, I don't have a link for it, but I'll click this right there. Live Local, the Live Local Field Manual has multiple parts. On page 176, I talk about the homeschool plan. The homeschool plan on page 176 talks about how to educate your kids at home, how to organize a plan for homeschool, how to join other people and do co-ops and build those types of things, right? On page 116, on page 116 of the Live Local Field Manual, I've got notions on how to recruit people. How can you recruit people who think like you, who want what you have, who want to do what you want to do? I have an entire section about how to go find them, how to go bring them to your thinking. And then the rest of the book is how to organize them and to put into action. And the last part, or not the last part, but another part I'll put at, is the importance of training tight shot groups. The importance of being accurate with firearms, like why that's important, how to make that happen, what to look for in a firearms instructor, how to plan for that, how to be logistically competent, how to plan your day and go places where you're able to carry a firearm. The Live Local Field Manual at livelocal.store, link in the description, has over 1,000 action steps that people can take to get the basics. I wrote this book 2 years ago because I recognized the chaos of the culture. If you want to live a biblical life, believe the gospel. If you want to put God's wisdom into action, one tool that you can get is the Live Local Field Manual. Now for me, I want more. I want to go more. And the next Live Local Field Manual that I'm going to be bringing out, Lord willing, this summer, is going to be Live Local Field number 2.0. And it's going to talk about common lawfare. Common lawfare is going to be how do we engage in action our legislatures, our school boards, any public official, anybody that's in any capacity that's sworn any oath of any kind, how do we engage them? I'm going to be calling this Live Local Field Number 2.0. It's going to be called Common Lawfare, and this is what I'm going to be laying out at the Live Local Conference here in Claremore, June 2nd and 3rd. So that's a Friday and a Saturday, all day Friday, all day Saturday. If you're coming in from out of state, make sure that you come on a Thursday, because we're going to start early in the morning on Friday and go all day Friday, all day Saturday. And all we're going to be talking about is how to do common lawfare. And I'm going to briefly touch on that right now. First of all, my teacher in this, the man who has been my instructor, my mentor, someone who's helped me put a lot of this stuff together, is a guy named Dave Jose. Dave Jose, I'll write it here. His at on Telegram is Dave Cares For You. And he is a Bible-believing Christian. And everything that he does, and there you go, everything that he does is going to be tied to the scriptures, which is the only reason I pay attention to him. The only reason I ever started giving him attention or listening to him is because he starts with the Bible. If he did not start with the Bible, I would not pay attention to him. Not a knock on other people who don't. It's just that for me, I want people to know God's wisdom. I want people to go to heaven. My charge is to evangelize. I am here to bring the gospel. I want people to go to heaven. From that, I want Christians to be able to build Christ's kingdom, and I think that means bringing God's wisdom into all areas. One area that I have had incredible interest is politics and government. I've ran for office and lost 3 times. I've served my nation 2 times overseas in the military. I care very much about my country. I care very much about my government. And it wasn't until I listened to Dave Jose at Dave Cares for You that I understood that there is a common law approach that common people can use that's biblical, most important. It's constitutional, which is awesome, and it's effective. It's effective because it turns the screws on people. It turns the screws on people who raise their hand to swear an oath to the Constitution. And once we know how to do that, and Dave teaches this, he has basically that's all he does on the internet. I don't necessarily want to become the teacher of how to do it, but we will cover some of the things. And like right now, I have a I've written the entire product of what I did to get out of the IRS. All I did was I sent 3 pieces of paper to the IRS, and I won't pay taxes for the rest of my life. And it's not filling out forms. It's not filling out anything. I'm going to give it away for free. I'm going to give it away for free because it's just using your rights. It's using common law to tell the IRS they don't have the ability to get your private information. They don't. I mean, like, that's it. And so it uses a common law approach to tell the IRS, you can't get my private information. You're not telling them you can't take my money. You're telling them I don't have to give you any of my private information to fill out any of your forms. So, because you're violating my Fourth Amendment. The 16th Amendment does not give the IRS the ability to violate your Fourth Amendment. So when you recognize your Fourth Amendment is what protects you and your private information, secured in your papers, your houses, your effects, and your persons, right? No government agency can come to you and say, tell me about yourself. Sorry, get out of my face. But we don't think like that because we haven't been taught that. So now let's get back to murderers in public schools. What would we do? Well, I think one thing that we could do is we could write, and there's more information. Dave Jose does this a lot. I will be doing this in the future with Live Local Field Manual 2.0. You can do notices. A notice is basically you're writing a piece of paper. You're writing something that is a petition. The First Amendment that gives you the right to petition for redress and grievance. Well, here, a grievance you have is the fact that my school doesn't have armed security guards. My school doesn't have locks on it. My school doesn't have security cameras or whatever. My school doesn't have an armed to the teeth combat veteran that's got just a beard and just it was a massive guard dog. My school doesn't have a sheepdog ready to rip the wolves apart. That's a grievance. My grievance is I put my children in the government custody and the government does not have the protective or security measures in order to guard my children. That's a grievance. That's a grievance because my children aren't my property. My children are part of me. My children are who I am because it's the context of my legacy. It's the context of my reputation. They have my family name. I have given them my time because I parent them. I've given them my treasure. I'm investing in them. So there's an aspect of property there because I've given myself to them. So the government has no rights when it comes to your children because your children are part of your legacy. You have a right to legacy. You absolutely do. This is why you guard property and this is why you guard your reputation. Your property and your reputation blended together is your legacy. That's your legacy. What you do with your property and what people think about your name, those two things together, that's your family. That's your family. And so if there is a grievance, if there is a violation against your family, against your children, if your children are not safe to your standards, then you can write a notice that says, listen, you need to preserve my property. You need to protect my legacy. You need to protect my reputation. Now, of course, most people, school boards, state legislatures, and governors and whatnot, they don't think like this. And this is part of the challenge, is that as we talk about Christian nationalism, it's about bringing the wisdom of God to the situation. We don't do that. Like I said earlier, most conservative media have already reduced the murder in Nashville to defending the Second Amendment or to getting down to, we're going to make fun of the transgender people and, oh, look at the media, how they're redefining the transgender issue. Both of those are missing the opportunity to advance God's wisdom. See, standing on the Second Amendment is not the same thing as, my children are in that school, my children are the blending of my property, the blending of my legacy, and I can do something about that because there's a grievance. You don't have to be defensive and wait for people to come after your firearms, which is what any conservative talking right now about the Second Amendment is defensive in their application of the Constitution. In other words, they're slaves. They're on their heels. They are used to being attacked, and the way that they present themselves with bravado is to say, the Second Amendment shall not be infringed, which is true. It's true. I'm a big Second Amendment guy. Amen. Like, amen. But that's defense. I don't like defense. I want offense. I don't want this girl in any position to put on to get the weapon to go to a school and even walk in. There's video showing her shooting out the windows of the front door. I would have preferred, as she parks in her stupid little Prius, she parked her Prius in a parking spot, which tells you that she was still following some sense of order, right? She shoots out the front door. I would prefer her to have been shot dead right there. Don't even go on the property. As soon as she gets out of her car and she starts to rack the chamber for the firearm, she needs to be shot dead. Shot dead. You show up and you start, whoa, what are you doing here? Boom. Boom, 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 boom. Right? We need to get to the position where we value what God gives us as God values what he gives us. And if we don't value it enough to put my children, my legacy, my future, God's future of working through his people, I'm going to take that person and put them in a school, and there's not a sheepdog, there's not a guardian there just to ravagely, viciously destroy any lethal or evil impact on them. Shame on us. Shame on us. So one thing you can do is you can notice the people and you can lay out the constitutional law. I'll be working on that over this week to show what that looks like. But you have to understand, you can do something about this. So step one, I identified my mentor, my teacher on this, Dave Jose. Step two, you can do your Live Local Field Manual. There's over 1,000 action steps at livelocal.store that includes that. I think it's like $20. Something like that. $20 for 1,000 action steps. It talks about localizing your food supply, training your tight shot groups, recruiting and identifying people to kind of house together and be with you, figuring out action plans, security plans. And then ultimately in phase three, it graduates to the unorganized militia. I've had people message me, Jaron, sign this, go to this website and join our militia. We have chapters everywhere. And I'm like, no. That's a Fed action. See, if anyone's ever encouraging you to join a militia and that militia has a website, it's fake. Don't do it. Do not do it. That's Fed bait all day long. Because what it's basically doing, it's saying, we're going to take one of the greatest strengths of the people, the unorganized militia, and we're going to take these people who want to defend their country and see the need that they might have to use lethal force in order to do so, and we're going to dangle this bait. And we're going to track all the IP addresses. We're going to do all that stuff. We're going to know all that stuff. The Live Local Field Manual will absolutely encourage the unorganized militia on a decentralized and untraceable way. I don't want you to just publish, hey, we got a militia here. Here's the website. Here's our Facebook page. Here's where we go to a training event. That's dumb. If you do that, you're stupid. If you do that, you're a moron. If anyone comes to you and says, well, you know, I served two deployments in Afghanistan, or I served 3 deployments in Vietnam, I was special forces, blah, 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 and they give out all sorts of military accolades, and yet they want you to go sign something digitally, run, absolutely run. Any militia action in America moving forward is necessarily decentralized, and it's peer-to-peer. It's not going to be over text. It's not going to be over electronic communications. It's not going to be organized from a national level down. That's fake. That's false. That's unusable. Completely unusable. Because ultimately, and then run this program, if you had a top down as though we need a national organization, it means whoever's in top is going to be who people are going to be looking for. They're going to monitor that person's emails. They're going to monitor that person's business. They're going to monitor what that person says. And then now that person can be extorted. That person could be intimidated. That person can be leaned on and targeted. Because that's what I would do. If I found out that this dude's the one in charge of the entire cell, who am I killing? Who am I going for? I'm going for the leader. So if your leader is trying to organize things electronically or top down, run. Because that's an infrastructure that is vulnerable to infiltration. See Proud Boy? I mean, there's a guy going to January 6th. He's on trial, and the FBI had an informant that was the star witness for the J6 guy. So the Proud Boy is like, this guy's going to be taking the stand for me. And right before they called up the key witness is like, oh, I'm an FBI informant. Now, why is that the case? It's because Proud Boys have chapters all over the place. They're infiltrated. They're assessed as a threat. And from an organizational perspective, the feds are going to say, let's infiltrate and work our way to figure out the C2 nodes, to figure out the chain of command. That's what they do. Why do they do that? Because if you understand the way that the federal government's going to teach you, the way that the Army teaches you, is you understand who's the leaders. Figure out who the leaders are. Attack the leaders. The Jews did this to Jesus. Strike the shepherd and the flock will scatter. Strike the shepherd. They killed Jesus. The Jews killed Jesus. And they thought that they would scatter the winds. And you know they hold up and they got the Holy Spirit. And then amen. God does stuff. Amen. But there's value there. There's cleverness. There's wisdom in striking the shepherd. So if anyone's going to say, let's join an organized, you know, let's do an unorganized militia. Here's our website. Run. Run. The Live Local Field Manual, however, is a physical book. It's a physical book that you can write stuff in, and it teaches to go under the radar. It teaches don't do meetings with cell phones. It teaches to go places and don't tell anybody who's going. It teaches those things because that's the type of decentralization that America is going to have. That's also called freedom, by the way. That's called you have the freedom to do things your way. You have the freedom to do things your way and your way. Stop looking to people to have all the solutions to stuff. This right here is not a solution to all things. This is a bunch of action steps that you can take in your way and do your ways that Jaren never has to know about. I don't want to know about them. I've been approached multiple times. Jaren, we should do Live Local chapters. Nope. I'm out. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to try to get or effectuate an organized thing. That's you don't understand. That's not how it's going to be done. The way that freedom is preserved in America is it has to be decentralized. It has to be grassroots. It can't have an organization to it. Now, hear my heart in this because I'm not saying this to be vicious or mean, but this is the failure. This is a failure of Western thinking. Western thinking is very ordered. It's very logical. It's very linear. And so it's going to see a problem and then try to impose an order on top of it. That order on top of it is going to have a chain of command. That chain of command is then going to be vied for. Well, I'm the chairman of the committee and you didn't pass the legislation for the whatevers. And so this is what the founders understood in Federalist 10 when they spoke about factions. They understood that factions would always compete with each other. But more important, and if you read Federalist 10, it talks about that there will be leaders of the factions. The leaders of the factions will necessarily bring to them influence, and then that's how things are fought. The founders understood, I believe, that whenever you recognize that factions are going to fight against each other and thereby ruin each other's ambitions and fight each other's ambitions, if you decentralize that, if you diffuse that, in the aggregate, you create stability. You create stability because whenever one gets too big, boom, you hammer it down. And so if multiples get too big, boom, you hammer them down. This is why they hated political parties. This is why they rejected those types of political affiliations. Likewise, in 21st century America, when we're bringing God's wisdom to solve and address the political problems of our day, you don't need the Republican Party. I support Trump for president, but you don't need Trump for president. What you need is normal, everyday people like you doing common law actions without announcing it to the world. That way you are getting very specific remedy and your government is now dealing with you on an individual level instead of a big collective. You don't need a big collective. You don't need the national organization. You don't need the national unity. And you don't need the bravado of the organization's name. So you don't need Jaren to be the leader of a Live Local movement. Not at all. Not at all. I'm against that. I am someone who's going to try to equip people for decentralization ops. I like the swarming tactic. I like constructive chaos. In this sense, the constructive chaos of common law actions from a diffuse number of patriots all around the country with no center of organization or how to do stuff. You can't predict it. You can't predict it. You can't track it. You can't figure out what the census is, which means you're exploiting the way that government actors think. You're exploiting the vulnerability to the decision framework of any government agency, which is to always identify who's in charge. And if we the people are in charge, then everyone's in charge. And you can't strike at everybody, which overloads the government's capacity or any bureaucrat's capacity to understand how to react, to how to engage. In short, take your self-interest using common law unabated. And they can't stop you because you're using the Constitution, you're using notices, you're using affidavits. You're going for the remedy for you. And in your self-interest, you're actually becoming one of the thousands of bosses that are commanding the government to obey. What we don't want to do is we don't want to create a big organization, have the temptation and ambition of I'm on top and I'm in charge. You don't want to compete with other organizations. You don't want to compete with other things. You want to do what you do where you are. That's where the Live Local Field Manual is written for a decentralized framework. You can literally take this, take my name off of it, take all of this stuff, it's yours, take all of this stuff and execute it, and I will never know about it, but you will, because, you know, if you do it, you will have specific effects. You will. And I never need to know about it. The government will never need to know about it, because you're taking specific action steps that are yours by virtue of the Constitution. And candidly, folks, let's just think about this from a biblical perspective. When Jesus is talking to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, he's saying that you're going to be born again. And Nicodemus is like, whoa. And Jesus says, don't be amazed that I said you have to be born again. The Spirit's going to move however he wants to. You can't see him. You can't track him, but you can tell that the wind is blowing. I'm not saying that we the people are the Holy Spirit, but as Christians who are bringing the wisdom of God to government, if we're doing common law actions in a decentralized, uncoordinated, non-labeled way, you can't track that. You can't track that. That is chaos, but it's also freedom. It's constructive chaos. It's common lawfare. You're using in a deconstructed, decentralized, non-labeled, organic, ground-up way the rule and the power and the authority, the law of the land. And you're doing it in a way that can't be stopped, because the way that Dave Jose teaches, the way that I'm going to be bringing in the Live Local Field Manual 2, they don't have an answer for. There's no answer for it. I mean, like I told you, I wrote 3 pieces of paper. I'm out of the IRS. Not because I'm smart, not because I filled out a form. I wrote 3 pieces of paper and zing, there's no response to it. There's none. There's no response to it. And it's not because I'm not going to pay my taxes. It's I'm going to stand on my rights and I'm going to assert the Constitution. You violated the Constitution. You violated my rights. You have an oath to uphold the Constitution. Do it. Well, what's the response? Exactly. The response is, yes, Master. The response is, I obey. That's the response, which is what we want. That's what the founders gave us. That's what the Constitution allows for. But we haven't been taught how to do that. So I don't want to be a guy that's always just saying, here's how to do all this stuff. I want to put it in form, decentralize it, and then when it's decentralized, let people's self-interest go. Just let the fires of self-interest burn down the excess government. Let the fires of self-interest carve up all this excess. And whenever it's talking about murderers in schools, all you need is for you to write a notice or the affidavit to your school and have it pinpointed on how to solve it, how to address it. Same thing your churches, same thing your businesses, same thing the TSA at the airport. Like, you could do the same thing to those people. because they're all government actors. They're all inside the public domain. And you, as one of the private people, as one of the people, are outside of the public domain, but you're in charge of the public domain. When you recognize that, when that clicks, if you let's say that you raise your own cattle. I'm about to have a local cow. I'm about to have a cow down the road here butchered. I'm about to eat it. Amen. That farmer doesn't need to comply with the FDA or the CDC or any other kind of crap they got going on. Why? Where does the government have the ability to regulate what he does? Where does the government get the constitutional authority to regulate him and his property? Because the cow is his property. The cow is not a consumable. The cow is not food. The cow is his property. Where does the Constitution grant the government the constitutional authority or power to compel him or to coerce him on how he should do his property? It doesn't. We could do this for property taxes. We could do this for your mortgages. We could do this for anything. Anything that's fraudulent, anything that steps on your constitutional rights and authorities, you can use this on. And you should be. But people don't, because it's not what they're being taught. It's not what they're being told. In fact, right now, conservative media covering the Nashville murders are going to be focused on two things. They're going to be focused on, we need to secure schools with firearms, which I agree. Like, I agree. You should. You should put the most bearded, vicious, loving combat veteran on every school, just armed to the fang. And as soon as you get a Prius-driving, purple-haired gender jumper to get out and start to chamber around, you shoot him dead in the parking lot. That's how much I want to protect children. I want to protect children to where that smut, that danger, that evil doesn't even get in. And I want the explanation to the kids to be, there was someone who did something bad and some fireworks were set off. And they never know. Like, that's what I would prefer. I would prefer that type of posture instead of the, we're just going to let this girl shoot in the front door and walk around and shoot people dead. That really fires me up. That really makes me mad. But the response to this is right action, lawful action, constitutional action. Conservative media is just going to talk about guns, Second Amendment, or the more comedic ones are going to be like, this was a girl, thought she was a boy. How crazy is she? Which, she's got a reprobate mind. Yeah, I mean, you can poke fun of it. I don't mind using satire against these people. They're gender jumper God haters. So yeah, they've denied God's order. At the same time, they've denied God's order so much that he's abandoned them to give them a reprobate mind, and they're nothing but a threat. They're nothing but a threat to everyone around them. They would be the most greedy, vicious, hostile, deceitful people. I mean, this idolater told the friend, you're going to hear me on the news today after I die. And then, 2 seconds later says, this isn't about attention for me. Are you kidding me? You're going to self-deprecate and say it's not your attention, but before you're going to say, you're going to hear about me on the news. So now you've already, it's such idolatry. It's such evil. And you can't stop evil people from being evil because the world will hate Jesus. John 7:7, the world doesn't hate you. The world hates me because I testify that his deeds are evil. The world hates Jesus because the world doesn't want the gospel. Christians are charged with the duty of advancing the gospel. How do we advance the gospel to people that hate us? You tell them. And if they shoot you in the face, then to God be the glory, to live as Christ, to die as gain, and you're in heaven for eternity. Amen. At the same time, I don't believe, and I think it's an effeminate Christianity, I think it's a false Christianity, to say, let me say this. If your faith is that God will provide for you and protect you, and you don't want to fire him from that regard, amen. God bless you. That's my mom. My mom doesn't like guns. My mom doesn't want guns. She doesn't want anywhere near them. And she's going to pray for God's protection. Amen. God bless you. There's nothing wrong there. I don't believe there's anything wrong there. At the same time, God has put upon my conscience, God has put upon my heart to say, I'm going to be very protective of my family. And I recognize that as the one that's the father, the husband, father of three, husband of one, it's not in my heart to say, I'm just going to trust God. No. See, I trust God by preparing for the bad things, just like you trust God by tilling and plowing your field and waiting for the rain. Right, so I'm going to train tight shot groups. I'm going to have a firearm with me. I'm going to make sure that my home is very capable of eliminating, you know, constitution violators or unlawful trespassers. Right, like I'm going to be very clear about that. That's not hateful. It's not unjust. It's not unlawful. It's not vicious. It is righteous. It is just. It is loving. It is good. And so you can have those two views. So I don't want to be the guy that says if you believe and trust God that he's going to protect you, that you're wrong. Because if that's your heart, if that's your faith, amen, to God bless you. That's not me. I'm not that. I'm the one that says I believe that there's evil. I recognize that evil is increasing, and I believe that it is prudent to say that I'm going to take certain precautions to make sure that I can adequately engage these things. And I don't think that that's wrong either, because God gave you a mind to plan and anticipate. God gave you a mind to see problems, to see the times, and to respond accordingly. And I think that's the era that we're in. So if you want to be the people like my mom who's got the faith, God bless you. That I am not there. That is not me. I also don't have it in my conscience, pricking my conscience that, well, I don't have faith if I carry a firearm. I don't. That doesn't violate my conscience. I'm the one that says I'm going to prepare as best I can. And if that's the case, the Live Local Field Manual is a good example of that. I hope this makes sense. I covered a lot of stuff that isn't really standard today. It's not really news, but I have a heart for people. I don't like innocents getting killed. I don't like innocent Muslims getting killed. I don't like innocent atheists getting killed. I don't like innocent Jews getting killed. I don't like innocent people getting killed. I hate bullies. I hate bullies. I despise people using power to violate and trespass other people. I despise that. I absolutely despise that. And it is in the very nature of my being to try to eliminate that as much as possible. I know that I can't. I'm not God. I know that God is God, and he still works through evil. Like, evil happens, and God can work through his good there. A lot of times, I don't understand that, which is why it takes me to prayer and forces me to talk to him and say, God, what are you doing? Because I don't understand. And I think that's a healthy recognition. At this time, I believe Christians should be looking at their nation, whatever nation you're in, and should want that nation to be a Christian nation. Because Christ wants that nation to be a Christian nation. Matthew 28, right? He go teach the nations, have them obey me. If Christ's expectation is that the nations obey him, then the assumption or the implication is that Christ, the nations that obey Christ are Christian. They're Christian nations. And if Christian nations obey Christ, then we have to get them there. How do we get them there but for Christian nationalism? Christian nationalism is not shooting people in the face that disagree with you. It's not cudgeling people of a different culture. It's not compelling people to believe in Christ. That's not Christian. Christian nationalism is we're going to advance the gospel. And when we're not talking about the death, the burial, the resurrection of salvation for sin and right atonement or a righteousness with God, we're going to be bringing God's wisdom to anywhere we go, whether that's in business or education or in government, as I do here. Well, I try to bring God's wisdom to a live stream broadcast audience where I talk about the news of the day in ways that look to Jesus and recognize his way is best because he is king. That's what I do here. But as we do this more forward, that's what Christian nationalism is. We're going to be a people in a place with a purpose, and that purpose is the gospel. That gospel is going to change the world. So I want people to know how to do things. I don't want to just say, oh, it's the Second Amendment. We got to defend the Second Amendment. Because then we pin our hopes on a legislature that's increasingly corrupt and bought off. Then we're pinning our hopes on judges. Then we're pinning our hopes on government. I don't pin my hopes on government. Government works for me. Government works for you. We're going to tell it what to do. That's what we're going to do. Dave Jose is my teacher on that. I'm going to be pointing more to him. I'm going to be doing a Live Local Field Manual 2.0. I believe that this is the way. The common law is the way that the American people of all faith, of all walks can use, because the Christian founders were so good and loved the Bible so much that they gave us it. We're going to learn how to do that. We're going to put it to action. Until then, I'm Jaron Jackson. Wait, whoa. We got to talk about the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ is that Jesus died for your sins because you and I are a sinner. That gender jumper who murdered people yesterday, she's in hell. She's in hell because she didn't believe the gospel. It's not because she's a horrible person. It's because she's a sinner, right? She's a horrible person because she's a sinner. But Romans chapter 3 says that all fall short of glory. All fall short of God's glory. Right? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We are all sinners. Not just this gender jumper that murdered people yesterday. Us. I am a sinner just like her. Just like you. And because we are sinners, we have complete and eternal separation from God. The only way to get right with God is the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's why Jesus Christ took the cross. He took the cross. He took God's wrath. He shed his blood all over the place to prove that he was dying and that his shed blood washes away our sins. He was buried to prove that he died and that what died with him was our sin. If our sin stapled him there and kept him there, Colossians chapter 2, whenever he was taken down and buried and the rock was put in front, that proves that our sin died with Christ. It proves Christ died, and it proves our sin died with Christ. Now, when the rock was rolled away and he came out, he resurrected, he bodily rose from the grave. He's not a spirit, he physically rose. When he physically rose from the grave, that's proof that life is over death. It proves that Christ conquered the grave. It proves that whenever you are with him and in him, death doesn't stop you. Friends, my death, my physical death on earth, will be one of the greatest things that's ever happened to me. Because at that point, for eternity, I will be with Jesus, never without him. To live as Christ, to die as gain, believe the gospel. Friends, appreciate you watching. Thank you very much. Lord willing, we'll be back tomorrow. Pray for the people in Nashville. Pray that the gender jumpers that want to do harm don't do harm and they find Jesus. Because even though they're vicious, horrible people that have reprobate minds and God has abandoned, the gospel still saves. And if they believe the gospel, regardless of what position they're in, the gospel saves. Jesus will save. It's not an anti-trans position. It's a, you're a sinner and you're going to go to hell. Believe the gospel position. Amen. Until then, appreciate your time. Lord willing, we'll be back tomorrow. I am Jaron Jackson. I do love America. Don't quit. Don't quit. We got to fight if you can't tell. Got to go to war.